It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Welcome, neighbor, to this neighborhood. See this fancy box? I'm going to tell you what's in it. Something to cover my hair and something to cover my eyes. The thing to cover my hair is a wig. Long ago, some people thought that one kind of wig was the style, so they wore that kind, and they wore a certain kind of glasses. And that would be the style. And then later the style would change and they would wear something else. Oh, there's the phone. Just get it. Hello? Oh, hi, Dawn. Yes. Oh, certainly I would. Oh, thank you very much. All right, look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye. That was Chef Brockett. He wants to bring something over for me. What do you suppose it'll be? We'll just wait and see. I'll show you another wig. This is a different one. See, I look a little different in that one. These wigs remind me of something. When I was a little boy, one day my mother had her hair done a different way. And she wore some glasses like this, some dark glasses. And when I saw her, I didn't know who she was. When she came close to me, I started to cry because I thought she was a stranger. Of course, she was still my mother, but I didn't know it because her hair looked so different. And the dark glasses covered her eyes. Oh, maybe that's Chef Brockett. I'll just leave these on. It is.
I'm looking for Mr. Rogers.
That's who I am.
Oh. I hardly knew you with the wig and those glasses.
Does look different, doesn't it?
Well, have you guessed what it is I'm bringing you?
Something to eat?
No. Something to wear. Something that I wear to work.
Oh, a baker's apron?
No, but you're close.
Chef's cap?
That's it.
Oh, there you are. I always wanted a chef's cap.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. What a great chance.
Now you're in style, huh?
Aha.
You can do this with me. I'm a chef. I suggest that you all be very quiet while I cook. You may look, but you must be very quiet. If you don't, then I'll shh and I'll shh. For it's silence that I ask for in my kitchen. Speaking of my kitchen, I better get back there. I have work to do.
Oh, what a quick delivery. Well, thank you for this.
Oh, you're welcome, Fred.
You are a generous person.
I like to be. I'll see you around the neighborhood.
Okay, Dawn, thank you. How does it look? There are many different styles, aren't there? Let's have some make-believe. What a good day. Last time we pretended that the people in the neighborhood school were making up a play. Anna Platypus was planning to be a ballerina, and Daniel Tiger was going to be a raccoon. And Prince Tuesday said he wanted to be a giant and a king. Mm-hmm. The one problem in the neighborhood is that Handyman Negri can't find King Friday's spare crown. The king never wears it and hasn't talked about it for a long time, but just when they can't find it, the king has decided that he wants to see it. Let's make believe that Handyman Negri's still looking for that spare crown as the trolley goes into the neighborhood of make-believe.
No, I haven't found it yet. I left it right here with Prince Tuesday while I went to get some polish for it. And when I came back, it wasn't here, and neither was the prince.
Handyman Negri, I presume?
Correct as usual, King Friday.
How do you like this cape and robe?
Oh, it suits you just fine, Your Majesty. And what's more, it goes so well with your crown. I mean, it matches perfectly.
Oh, but I think I'll wear my spare crown when I get all dressed up for the play. I haven't worn it in years, my spare crown.
Well, I've been trying to polish your spare crown, sire.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I hear. Well, just so it's ready when I need it.
Did you find it?
Find what, Niece Eberlyn, I presume?
Oh, correct as usual, Uncle Friday.
For what is it you're looking?
Oh, we've been having some hide-and-seek, you know.
Hide-and-seek, yes, well, I'd be delighted to play, but just one game, and I'm not it.
I'll be it. You two hide, and I'll seek you.
Okay. Very good. You cover your eyes and count, and no peeking.
Okay. One, two, three, seven, nine, 11, 13, 14. Anyone run this castle garden? It's IT.
I suggest that you all be very quiet while I cook. You may look, but you... I wonder where everyone is. I've never seen this place so deserted.
Not it. Not... Oh, Chef Brocket, are you playing hide-and-seek, too?
I didn't know if I was. I didn't know it.
And what do you have here?
This King Friday is a crown cake brought to you from my own bakery.
Why, it's magnificent. I shall descend to see it better. How very generous of you, Chef Brocket.
Well, I heard that there was a lost crown, and I thought I'd like to...
What?
Chef Brocket!
What was that about a lost crown?
Oh, I had heard a rumor that... somebody had lost a crown, but you have yours, King Friday.
Yes, and Handyman Negri has my spare crown, don't you, Handyman?
Somewhere, yes. How about another game of hide-and-seek?
Sounds to me that we'd better talk about crowns instead of more hide-and-seek.
All right. The whole truth is that the other day, I was planning to polish your spare crown, and Prince Tuesday was holding it while I went to get the polish. And when I came back, the crown was gone.
And Prince Tuesday?
Well, he was gone too.
Has anyone questioned Tuesday about the crown's whereabouts?
I have, Uncle Friday. He says he doesn't know where it is.
Very well. I suggest you all become crown seekers instead of hide-and-seekers and report back to me anon.
Yes.
Yes, sire.
Crown seekers.
Where could that crown be?
Well, it's not in this cake, I know that. Mm-hmm. And it's not under my hat.
No, it isn't
there.
It isn't under my hat, is it?
No.
No, it's not there.
Not there. Well, we're just going to have to go beyond here. I'll go to the school. We're having a rehearsal of the play anyway. Let me know if you find it.
Okay, we will.
I'll go see Edgar Cook inside here.
And I'll do some close-up looking with my binoculars.
Now, class, suppose we sing the addition song. Yeah, you know, the one that starts with one and one are two?
Yes. I like that song. Mm-hmm. The numbers get bigger and bigger.
Well, that's what happens when we add one number to another. The sum is bigger. All right, class, let's sing.
One and one are two. Two and two are four. Four and four are eight. And eight and two are ten. One, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Very good. Now we'll talk about the school play.
I'm not sure I should be in it, Miss Cow.
Why not, Prince Tuesday? I thought you were going to be a giant and a king.
No, I don't feel like either one today.
But playing the part might be able to help.
And I'm going to be a ballerina. And I'm going to dance for the giant and for the king.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. I've just come from the castle, and Uncle Friday has found out that his spare crown is missing. Oh. He's sending people to look everywhere for it.
Oh, that's good.
But you were the last one to see it, weren't you, Tuesday?
I don't know. Do you suppose some giant took it?
Are you sure you don't know where it is?
I'm sure. If I knew where it was, I'd ask to wear it for the play.
Oh, we can make you a crown for the play.
Yeah, well, we could use a paper cup, like this one.
That's a great idea, Harriet.
How can I be a giant king with just a paper crown?
Well, that's what plays are for. They're for making the best of whatever you have.
Well, as you know, I have a raccoon costume, so I'll just be a raccoon.
And I have a tutu, so I'll be a wonderful ballerina.
Mm-hmm. I'll do my best with a paper crown, but I surely hope they find my daddy's spare real crown.
Chef Brockett is helping with the search. He and everybody else will do their best. Now, we must get on with making up the story for the play.
I guess it's nowhere to be found.
Gotta be somewhere. Any luck?
I've searched far and near and farther and nearer, and I haven't seen it anywhere.
Crown seekers, I presume?
Correct as usual, King Friday.
Have you found the spare covering for the king's head?
Actually, King Friday, we haven't really completed our search yet, but
we have a stylish substitute for a spare crown.
Stylish.
Yeah. Didn't you know? Everyone who's anyone these days is wearing a chef's cap. Handyman Negri, he's been very anxious to borrow mine. Haven't you, Handy?
Yeah, I really have. I do hope it fits.
Oh, well, yeah. You're stylish. You're stylish. Well,
How does it look?
Very stylish.
I'm glad to know that I'm in such style.
Well, I would imagine that your stylish chef's hat might fit King Friday.
I was just wondering that myself.
You know, I've always said that Edgar Cook is one of the most generous fellows I know.
You're welcome to have it, King Friday.
Oh, here.
Thank you.
Let me put it on, King Friday.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Edgar.
Yes.
Right there, sire.
Oh, right on the crown. Yes.
Now that's real style.
You think so?
Oh, now you tell me what other king today is wearing a chef's cap. Any king can wear a crown, but what other king today is wearing a chef's cap?
Well, I never thought of it that way. I guess there are all kinds of styles, aren't there?
How right you are. But there's one style that we all can have.
And what is that?
It's the style to wear a smile. Do you know how to put one on your face? In a while you'll feel your smile. You'll know it's there to wear, it's there to share. Your smile's your style upon your face.
On your face, lovely sentiment.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I think I'll be wearing a broader smile when we have located the other crown. In the meantime, we shall wear our chef's hat and partake of the Brocket crown cake in anticipation of seeking success.
King Friday looked different in Edgar's chef cap, didn't he? You can get dressed up in the fanciest of things, but the best style comes from inside, and it often spreads to your face with a smile. It's the style to wear a smile. Do you know how to put one on your face? In a while you'll feel your smile. You'll know it's there to wear, it's there to share. Your smile's your style upon your face. I wonder if they'll find that spare crown of King Friday. See who this is. Oh, it's Mr. McFeely. Come in, Mr. McFeely.
Speedy delivery. Well, the library just got it in.
Good. How people make sneakers.
That's right.
Well, thank you. Can you watch it with me?
I do have some time. In fact, I had a chance to watch it, so I'll explain it as we watch, all right?
Very good. Come in.
Okay, we can put it on picture-picture. MR chef hat, right?
Right. Let's put on picture-picture.
All righty.
How people make sneakers. Oh, thank you for this.
I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
Uh-huh. Let's look.
All righty.
How people make sneakers.
First of all, this big sheet of blue rubber is made into the bottoms of the sneakers.
You mean that thing's all rubber?
It's all rubber, and it's going into the machine. And this machine forms the sheet into long, thick rubber strips.
They look like thick blue ribbons.
They do. Up, 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 and they're getting cooled by some water.
Oh, so they were hot before, now they're getting cooled off.
That's right. Next, the long strips are cut into shorter strips. Each will soon become the bottom of the sneaker. See, the shorter strips are coming out of the machine. There they are.
Sure doesn't look like the bottom of a sneaker to me.
Oh, not yet, but just wait. The strips of rubber are put into these molds and melted. That's what this man's doing. And he has to wait for a few moments.
Ooh, they look very hot.
Oh, they're hot. And you see, the rubber has melted just the right amount, and it forms the bottom part of the sneaker.
Aha. Oh, now that does look like the bottom of a sneaker there. Now what happens?
Well, next is trimming. This machine is doing that. It's trimming off the extra rubber from the edges.
And what are those men doing?
These men look at each one and trim off any more rubber that the machine may have missed.
Uh-huh. So that's the bottom of the shoe.
That's the bottom of the shoe. And next, the inside of the sneaker is made. Some people call that part the insole.
The inside, you mean where you put your foot?
That's right. This machine cuts out many layers of insoles at one time.
Uh-huh. Just look how many it can do.
And these men check each insole to make sure it's just right.
Now what's this?
This is the top part of a sneaker being cut out of canvas. You know, this machine works something like a cookie cutter. It presses down and cuts the canvas. It cuts it in just the right size and shape for the top of the sneaker.
Isn't that fun to see that?
Now watch, he'll bring out some top parts. There you go.
Those are going to be top parts of the shoe?
That's right.
What's this woman do?
She's putting in the holes for the shoelaces. Oh, see, there they go.
Well, it's fun to watch how fast that machine works.
Now, this woman sews all of the canvas top parts together.
Sure that I understand.
See, does beginning to look like a sneaker.
Oh, look how fast she works. Well, it must take a lot of practice to do that job right.
Oh, it sure does. Sneakers are being formed.
Oh, now that's beginning to look like one.
Well, at last, it's time to put all the parts together. First, the top part is glued to the insole. See, there goes the glue. And on the conveyor belt, it's on its way. Here comes another. You'll see it again.
There's the insole.
Insole. And some glue. And on its way. Then the sneaker is dipped in some more glue.
Oh, I thought that was the white trim that goes around the outside.
Well, it looks like the trim, but really, it's glue to hold the trim on the sneaker.
Uh-huh.
And when the glue has dried just the right amount, this woman adds the first layer of rubber trim around the bottom of the shoe. You see there?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing it now.
She really works carefully, doesn't she? I wonder if she ever thinks about all the people who might be wearing a pair of the shoes she's helped to make.
I'll bet she does.
You think?
Finally, it's time to attach the top to the bottom. This man makes sure both parts match. See, he's... Recognize that part he has on the bottom there?
Mm-hmm. The sole.
The sole. And the machine presses them together.
So now it's all glued together.
But the sneaker needs to have one more rubber strip put around the outside, and then it will be finished.
Lady works carefully too. I never knew it took so many people and so many machines to make a pair of sneakers. It's really interesting, Mr. McFeely.
You know me, I like finding out about all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are putting in the shoelaces.
One for each shoe.
And this woman does one last check to be sure they're just right. See, she looks them over. And this woman puts the sneakers into boxes, and then they're ready to be sent off to stores for people to buy them and to wear them.
Thank you for that, Mr. McFeely.
Well, you're welcome. You know something? The sneakers that we just saw on the tape were something... like the ones you wear, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting to see how people make shoes like that.
Well, I thought you'd like to see it. You know, I have the other one on order from the library.
The one about sweaters?
About sweaters, and I'll bring it someday.
Very good. How would you like to try my chef's cap?
Well, I'd like to try that, and you can try my speedy delivery cap.
All right.
There you go. There's that one.
Thank you.
And I can put this on. I'm a chef.
Yes, speedy delivery.
Speedy delivery. Well, speaking of speedy deliveries, I have more to do.
And we're still ourselves inside, no matter what we wear.
Well, that's right. And I'll take this tape back to the library so some other people can borrow the tape.
Good. You're a very thoughtful person.
Well, much obliged, and speedy delivery to you. Bye-bye.
And to you, Mr. McFeely. Oh, I was just thinking. I need to feed the fish. Mr. Rogers, the chef, will feed the fish. they're hungry. Wasn't it fun to see how the people make those shoes? I was just thinking. Everything we wear, everything we use, has to be made by somebody. Think of all of the people in the world who help us. People we don't even know. That really gives me a good feeling to know that there are so many helpers in this world. Did you think about that? It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new. And I'll have more ideas for you. And you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. We will have things to talk about, won't we? We always do when we get together. Talk about and think about and do. That one, and that one, and that one, and no matter what, we're always in style. I'll be back next time. Bye.
People who give the money to make Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood are the people who contribute to this and other public television stations and the Sears Roebuck Foundation.